You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll get the latest on what's happening with the vote and now non-vote on the GOP's revised health care bill. First, the Public Religion Research Institute asked Americans which group faces a lot of discrimination, Muslims or Christians. The responses varied a lot from one group to another, but overall, a majority of Americans were more likely to say that Muslims face discrimination. Catholics, mainline Protestants, and religiously unaffiliated Americans were all roughly twice as likely to say Muslims face discrimination. But one group stood out, white evangelicals. More than half of them said they perceived a lot of discrimination against Christians. Fewer said Muslims. So what does that mean for the way religious groups see themselves and others? Robert P. Jones joins us now. He's CEO of the Public Religion Research Institute, the group behind that survey. He's also the author of the book, The End of White Christian America. Robbie, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
Well, flesh those numbers out for us a little. How different are white evangelicals when they talk about who's being discriminated against here in America?
Yeah, well, you know, they are really in a category all by themselves, really, is the best way to put it. You know, even if we look at Republicans, you know, Republicans, when I actually looked at those numbers before I looked at the religious breaks, and there, actually, Republicans are just as likely to say that Christians and Muslims face a lot of discrimination. So that is, on the face of it, maybe a little bit surprising in itself. But then when we looked at the religious breaks, we noticed, you know, this number that, you know, nearly 6 in 10 white evangelical Protestants say that Christians face a lot of discrimination in the country, and only 44% say that about Muslims. And that's actually in a battery of seven groups that we asked about. So we asked about gay and lesbian people, transgender people, immigrants, African-Americans, Muslims, whites, and Christians. And out of all of those groups, actually, white evangelicals say Christians face far more discrimination than any of those other groups that I just mentioned.
So why is that? They're unique compared to all the other groups you talk to.
Yeah, you know, I think part of it is that evangelicals are going through a real transition time right now. You know, they have come from the heady days of the Christian right, where they were really at the center of politics and really at the center of American culture. You know, we had the moral majority back in the 80s and 90s, and there was a kernel of truth to that, you know, on some flagship issues, for example, like gay marriage. You know, in the 90s, if you had sort of asked, you know, where is the general public? Are they with the Christian right on this issue? The answer to that would have been yes. But that's really no longer true, and that's mostly just changed in the last decade. So I would say two things have put them a bit on the defensive. One is the key shift on these kind of bellwether issues that we've gone, for example, just from the beginning of President Obama's tenure in 2008, only 4 in 10 Americans supported same-sex marriage. Our last numbers have that number at 63. Percent support. So just in the last 10 years, we've gone from basically 4 in 10 for supporting same-sex marriage to 4 in 10 opposing same-sex marriage. The number's been turned on its head. And then the other one that I think is really important for understanding this kind of persecution mentality that I think many, particularly white evangelicals, have is that the country actually has passed across the tipping point that I talk about, you know, in my book, that we've moved from being a majority white Christian country to a minority white Christian country, demographically speaking. So across that same period of time, we've gone from a country that was 54% white and Christian in 2008. Our latest numbers have that number down at 43%, so a drop of 11 percentage points over the last decade. And most importantly, that we really have crossed, you know, reached this tipping point and passed it. And I think it's those two factors, kind of the shifts in culture, the shifts in demographics, that I think have evangelicals feeling on the defensive and, you know, like the rest of the country is moving to a different place than they are.
We'll get back to that point, but I wanted to ask, do different groups have different perceptions of what discrimination means? I mean, sometimes you might say, okay, who's more subject to hate crimes or overt housing or employment discrimination on the one hand, or you could think of it as values that I have that were once at the center of American culture, as you were saying, are slipping away. My values are being ignored more and more. And if I'm in that position, I feel that that's a discrimination against me.
Right. So, you know, the question, you know, is a perception question, right? Mm-hmm. So we're not actually measuring,
right.
You know, we're presenting this with, you know, the Southern Poverty Law Center's, you know, hate crime statistics, which certainly show those numbers have been up among many of these minority groups in the last over the last year. But, you know, here's another clue to it, I think. I think it is a kind of relative to other groups from their point of view. And so we asked another question that I think gets to the heart of it, and that is this a question that's really asking about quote-unquote reverse discrimination. And we asked, do you agree or disagree that today discrimination against whites has become as big a problem as discrimination against blacks and other minorities? And 63% of white evangelicals say that they agree with that statement as well. So I think it's about race. It's also about religion. And it kind of those two things, I think, are packaged together for many white evangelical Christians.
Talking to Robbie Jones from the Public Religion Research Institute, author of the book The End of White Christian America, about recent surveys they've done about our perceptions of religious discrimination in the United States. And Robbie, you had a chart at the Public Religion Research Institute that I thought was very striking, taking a cross-section of today and looking at generations and how white Christians compare to other groups and just striking changes from one generation to the next. Can you talk about that?
Sure. You know, if you just look at the generations that are, you know, alive today, and you don't have to look at any, you know, 40-year trend line. You can just look at the generations who are alive today. And what's striking, if you look at the percentage of each generation that identifies as white and Christian, you can really see this tectonic change, you know, right before our eyes. So if you look at seniors, about 2/3 of seniors identify as white and Christian. The number for younger Americans under the age of 30 is just a little more than 1 in 5. It's like 22-23%.
So 60% for the seniors, 20-23% for millennials, we can say, identify as white and Christian.
Right. So it's a factor of 3, right, that has shifted. And the generations in between, look, you know, they're like stair steps. It's a linear stair step pattern in this generational chart. And so it really is just, you know, very linear step down that the younger the generation is, the fewer white Christians there are in that generation.
So a group of Americans who feel like their values are starting to be ignored, that people are walking away from their point of view, their cultural background. That sounds like some stories we were hearing about the 2016 elections. How did all this play out in politics?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, you know, there's been kind of the great debate, you know, so was it economics, was it culture? And of course, the answer is yes, you know, to that question. But on the cultural side and this cultural anxiety, I mean, what I had argued that I actually saw happening as early as the South Carolina primary, which was the first kind of heavily Southern Republican primary, where there were 3/4 of the electorate in that election were white evangelical Protestants. And we still had, you know, we had Rick Santorum still in the race, we had Huckabee still in the race, we had Rubio still in the race, many people who had a lot of bona fides in the evangelical community. And of course, we had Donald Trump, and he handily won that. And he also went on Super Tuesday to win all the southern states with their large white evangelical populations. Here's what I think happened. And what I've argued is that what Donald Trump has succeeded in doing was tapping this larger anxiety, I think, about cultural and demographic change in the country. And he essentially succeeded in converting what had been, you know, self-described and self-understood values voters, and he converted them into what I had described as nostalgia voters. So that what became more important was not that the candidate had a certain kind of character or moral values that represented their values, but a candidate that they perceived could deliver the goods, and they were willing to kind of jump over, I think, the particular values and character questions on the candidate. One just quick evidence of that is, you know, we asked a question directly on candidate's character in both 2011 and 2016, and we asked, you know, can a political candidate who's committed immoral acts in their personal life still carry out their duties and behave ethically in their public life? In 2011, white evangelical Protestants were the least likely group in the country to agree that that was possible. Only 30% of them said that was possible. When we got in 2016, we asked this question again, 72% of white evangelicals said that this was possible. So they went actually from the least likely group to say that this was possible and that character, you know, is really everything, to the most likely group to say that this was possible and essentially that character wasn't the most important thing and that, you know, you could still behave ethically regardless of what you did in your personal moral life.
I wanted to ask about changes in Protestant Christianity in the United States. We'd seen a trend in the past where kind of the older school denominations were seeing declines. The newer evangelical, so-called mega churches, were growing. Is that still what's going on?
Right. No, this is a great question. You know, it's right that what we really the heyday of particularly white Protestant churches were really the 50s and the 60s. That's where, you know, we saw this post-World War II boom that really held on into the 60s. Churches were bursting at the seams. New churches were getting started everywhere. And then we began to see a first wave of decline really in the 70s through the end of the 20th century, 70s, 80s, and 90s, among the mainline Protestant denominations, so Episcopalians, Presbyterians, Methodists, and the like. And they tend to be the more kind of liberal end of the white Protestant world. And that was a real wave, big declines that's now sort of stabilized a bit. And during that time, it really was white evangelicals were starting these big mega churches. It looked like there were a lot of academic articles written that said, you know, why strict churches are growing, for example. And it looked like conservative Christianity was going to, you know, sort of win the day. Over the last 10 years, though, what we found is actually that we're seeing a second wave of white Christian decline that has really encompassed the more conservative end of the churches. So the Southern Baptist Convention, for example, the largest of the white evangelical denominations, has lost over 1 million members over the last 10 years, has now posted 9 straight years of membership losses. And even at the national level, you can measure about a 20% decline relative to other groups over the last decade.
Very briefly, Robbie, we're just about out of time.
Sure.
What is your next question that you want answered?
You know, I think the real question, you know, is where are all these people going, right? And they're going to this big category that we have this kind of default category called the religiously unaffiliated that now make up a quarter of Americans. They're heavily young. Most of the attrition from these white churches have gone into that category. They've gone nowhere. They've gone to being not affiliated with any religion. And the real question is, you know, when are they going to have an impact? We've been talking about elections at the ballot box, because unlike white Christians who tend to vote, turn out and vote at high levels, they make up a quarter of Americans, but only 12% of voters. And if that ever shifts, it will absolutely transform our national politics.
Robbie, thanks a lot. Good to talk to you.
Thanks so much.
It's Robert P. Jones with the Public Religion Research Institute, author of the book The End of White Christian America. Coming up, a look at today's non-vote on the Republican health care bill. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time.